Dude, stop thinking Prague Police and start thinking PlayStation.
All right, guys, welcome to episode 10 of the PS3 Blogcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Ace.
What's up?
And Jay.
Hey, everyone.
And it's good to be back. It's always good to be here to be recording. And I guess let's hit the ground running, as they say, with the article about how Uncharted 3's beta was the most popular beta in PS3 history. I read that it was 1.5 million unique beta players on that beta.
Wow.
I know, that's a lot.
That's a lot of people. Well, I loved the Uncharted 3 beta. And I think everyone got a chance to play it and, you know, actually see what Uncharted is about. See how it actually runs and what's different from the second one. So that's pretty cool. And hopefully a lot more people will be jumping on the Uncharted 3 boat this time around.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't spend too much time on it because I felt like I got a good hand of it. I'm like, oh, it's kind of like two. I grasped what the progression progress would be like, but I didn't want to. That's, like I said, my biggest problem with betas. I don't like to invest a whole lot of time into them. That way, I lose all that stuff that I.
Yeah, that's gained. You want to play it, but you don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, and I know they said like if you get so high, it would carry over. But I was like, I still don't want to invest that much. Don't
exactly.
Have a little bit carry over.
Yeah.
Savor the time.
I actually only played it once the whole time since I downloaded it.
Only once.
Ouch.
Eh.
I've been extremely busy.
Yeah.
All right. That's reasonable.
Yeah, we forgive you.
We forgive you. The Uncharted 3 fan base forgives you.
Well, I plan on picking up the game anyway, so I don't think I'm really missing much.
Wait, it's a game? I thought it was a movie. What are you talking about?
It's a good movie.
I'll file this under not an issue.
I love that commercial. Kevin Butler for the win, man.
Yeah, I can't wait till the Uncharted 3 commercials.
Oh, yeah. They just need to make... They're going to continue doing Kevin Butler commercials, right?
I figure they'll stick with him. He's a huge success.
It's been working, right?
Yeah.
It's just that we're in the summer drought, basically.
Yeah, when we get to November,
exclusives coming out.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, you're right. It's true.
Because he only does first party games, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got to
wait for the Uncharted.
I think Sony might want to maybe expand to Kevin Butler into like third party games. You know, like if Sony gets like some exclusive content or something.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
They figure they'd probably have to do something with that.
It's just if
I think they could get a lot of.
Yeah, if they could actually get other third-party companies on board.
Yeah.
Without, you know, asking for too much money, I guess.
Yeah, because if you're when it's a first-party game, it's their own marketing thing. Because they're like, okay, this is how we want to do it. But if you got a third party, this guy, they might be like,
they're
going
to tell them how to do it. That'd be still.
Oh, that's just a thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was reading over the stats for the beta, and they said like there's there's basically 2 billion total kills.
Jesus
and
Christ!
A cumulative time from what everybody played, total time played, added up to over 362 years. So people played for a long time.
And how long was the beta out for? Like 4 weeks, 3 weeks?
I don't even think it was that. It was like 2.5 weeks. It
really.
Seemed like.
I know it definitely wasn't out. Well, the open PS3 Plus beta wasn't out for that long.
Because it was June 28th to July. I want to say the 14th.
14th, unless they extended, because they did the one day extra thing and it was weird, and then they did another day. We'll just say it's 14th.
Yeah.
So
basically 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which that's a lot of people for 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm curious what the number would have been if the PSN outage didn't happen and people weren't Plus members to from the outage.
Sony did this intentionally.
There you go. It was all planned.
It was all planned for Uncharted.
That's right. We need a way to give everybody free PlayStation Plus. sticking with the Uncharted news. The Uncharted movie got a new director.
Yeah, whoop. Thank God. God knows what the last director was doing.
Yeah, this guy is the director of Limitless, which I haven't seen yet, but I've heard.
Oh, it's awesome. It's definitely I would pick it up for Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's on my
Netflix. How good it is.
Well, as long as they don't give the director creative freedom over the storyline, it might be okay.
He said he wanted to work with the fan base and just, you know, make them happy about it. So yeah. I don't think he's going to be twisting it too much.
Yeah, he said they're starting from scratch. Like, he didn't even read any over of Russell's screenplay at all. He didn't even look at it. He's like, we're just going to start from scratch and go back to the video game.
Yeah, he said that we're going back to the video games, which that's always awesome. Exactly. Because he said there's a lot of detail in it and there's a lot of, like, a lot of characters they already have.
Yeah.
So they can just go right off of that.
Now it's a really cinematic video game already, so he's
It sounds like he's actually doing it right, unlike freaking Mr. Russell.
Exactly. But the only problem is, of course, they don't know who's going to be playing Drake yet, so they're not quite sure. He knows that he's thought about Nathan Fillion, how everybody says there should be Nathan Fillion, but he's not saying whether it'll definitely be him. He says he still wants to kind of look around and see who else could possibly do it, but which gives a little bit of hope that it could end up being possibly Nathan Fillion, which would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, he said first we need to handle doing the screenplay and all that before we actually think about getting any actors. But yeah, he said he has heard about Nathan Fillion and how he's a great actor and all that. So.
Yeah, so we'll see. I know, like, not everybody necessarily agrees that he should be it, but, you know, it's one of those things where you're never going to please all the fans.
Exactly. You know, it's just opinion.
You know, it's funny. I was reading an article about how Activision wants to get Modern Warfare 3.com.
Oh, this poor guy.
They're a little pissed off.
This guy. Oh, man. The guy who owned it just got shafted big time. GoDaddy released all of his info out to the internet, and I'm pretty sure he's probably getting a whole bunch of phone calls because there's some kind of law or some kind of internet dumb rule. You know how the internet laws work. And no one knows what's going on. So GoDaddy was like, we don't want to get into this, so here's all of his details. You guys go after him. So hopefully, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I guess he's going to have to give it over now.
Yeah, so they'll probably definitely end up
probably give him like an offer or something.
I don't even know if they'll buy it off him. I mean, I know people have done that for like Final Fantasy games where they bought. I knew a guy or another podcast guy who owned a FinalFantasy11.com way back when, and when FF11 finally came out, they ended up purchasing the domain name off him. I don't even think it was Square Enix, but someone else who wanted the name, you know, because anybody could, like, do the names. Because Square, it's always going to be, like, squareenix.com/Final Fantasy 11. So, but someone else wanted to get it off them, and they bought it off them. So, it's like, but, yeah, Activision's like, no, we want that because we have
I think it was, like, a little bitch move, too, on Activision's part. Because, I mean, dude, he owned the site. It's his rights.
Yeah.
They don't need to be going, like, trying to harass the guy. If anything, they could just, like, contact him, like, and just tell him, we don't want you putting all that up on your site about how Battlefield's better and stuff like that. They could just, you know, ask. They could have done it a better way instead of going to GoDaddy, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, no matter what they do, they really can't do anything about it unless the guy decides to sell it to them.
Yeah, which I don't think he's going to do.
We'll
see. Yeah, we'll definitely see. Well, staying on the Activision topic, well, it seems like the PS3 and PC gamers more, actually, they did get shafted this time around again. Is the Call of Duty Elite, you know how they do all the stats and everything? Yeah. Well, I don't know what happened and why the PC's not even getting it now. Makes no sense at all, because you'd think PC would be the easiest area to get your stats off of. They're not even trying to do the beta on that this time. So what they're doing is the Call of Duty Elite right now, the beta is only on 360 right now, and it started the 14th, the invites got sent out. So once again, PS3 gamers are left in the dark, and PC gamers aren't even thought of, really. They're just like, okay, we'll just wait until it launches when Modern Warfare 3 comes out.
I think that maybe the Call of Duty series is transitioning into a 360 exclusive title.
It's possible. But I think knowing Activision, they're not going to do anything exclusive because, you know, they know they could still make money off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see,
I can see the 360 or whatever the next generation's system is.
Being the 360 exclusive Call of Duty? You have to re-rate things
out? At least exclusive content.
Well, they already have most of it. And what else do they want? They could just take the game. I don't really care. I'm not buying the next one.
Yeah,
how I got treated on Black Ops with PS3. I remember it was just terrible. Complete different game from 360 version.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Microsoft's paying them off because they don't really have any good first-party titles.
Yeah, that was another heat wave on N4G. I don't get it because I already know the answer. Which console has better exclusive games? And I think PS3 would easily win that argument.
Unless you're Eden.
Unless you're Eden. And he would say, you know, no, there's a new Mario coming out. Shut up.
Yeah. No, keeping on Activision, GoldenEye 007 Reloaded will be coming to PS3 and 360.
1080p on the 3. I mean, 1080p on the PS3. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it was kind of cool that they're saying how it's not just going to be, just kind of like reskinned. It's actually they rebuilt the engine from the ground up, and so the game can run at 60 frames a second. And
that's pretty cool. 1080p, yeah. 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
Pushing out some power.
That'd be cool. And
I actually couldn't believe it the first time I saw it. I was like, wait, Activision doing something good? What?
Yeah, I know. Now, I know, like, I remember when the remake came out, because it came out in, 2010 on the Wii?
Yeah.
And how...
09, actually, I think.
09, okay, 09. How it wasn't, like, it's not, like, chapter for chapter exactly how GoldenEye was on N64.
I don't think you'd want it chapter for chapter. I think you'd want to change up a little.
Well, you figure, it's kind of the nostalgia of the game is because people, that's what they remember from GoldenEye. That's
you're true. That's right.
And I mean, like, I'd love to reskin version. I mean, that'd be cool. But I'm really interested. GoldenEye was one of my favorite Bond movies. And
oh yeah, heck yeah.
So I was like, oh well, I'll end up getting it because it sounds pretty sweet, and I'm sure it'll be fun. I know they added a new a mode called MI6 Ops, which apparently is just like almost exactly like the Spec Ops in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. You figure it's Activision, so they can do that if they want. They're like, yeah, we'll just, take it
away. Yeah, pay $15 for the extra map pack.
Yeah.
Yeah, bull.
Yeah, we'll see.
You're right, actually. GoldenEye did come out November 2nd, 2010, fully.
Vindicated. Look at this. I did my research by guessing.
But knowing Activision, I don't know. I really don't. I would expect it to be screwed up somehow, some way.
Yeah. Well, it could be good. I mean,
Has Activision always owned James Bond, or didn't EA make some kind of James Bond recently for like? Well, I don't know about recently, but I remember PS2 days. Wasn't EA holding them?
I never played any of the Bond games.
It's weird, because I don't ever remember Activision doing any James Bond games, other than the Wii game I think they did. Yeah.
We'll see how
it... We'll see.
But yeah. Hey, looks like Tosh hopped on. You want to...
Yeah, sure. Let's get. Well, yeah. Do you want to edit this out?
we want people to know that some came, because all of a sudden we can't just be like, all of a sudden Tosh just comes out of nowhere and people are gonna wonder.
Well, we could be like, Welcome, Tosh.
Exactly. Like,
how do you do?
Yeah, see, this isn't that long. It's like a couple seconds. Listeners don't mind if we talk about inviting Tosh to the podcast.
Hey, Tosh.
Sorry I'm late.
No problem. We were just talking
welcome,
about
Welcome, Tosh. How do you do? Loaded.
Doing well.
Yeah, we're talking about GoldenEye and how Activision might mess it up. But it's in 1080p on the PS3, so it's, you know.
Nice.
Exactly. It'll be good. We'll see how it goes. But jumping from Activision back to EA, I saw an article on how Respawn Entertainment's project they're working on apparently won't be out until about 2015. This is according to a concept artist named Ian McDaig. They were talking to someone at a developer conference in England, and they're saying how they're working with Respawn Entertainment, and but he hates that he can't show what he's been working on until
2014.
But so a lot of people are thinking maybe it'll be on the next gen consoles. And
that would make sense.
Not the current ones.
It would have to be. If it's coming out in 2015, it'd have to be.
Exactly. And so also it seems like it's like, man, it seems like a far, far time off. But you figure Respawn just started. So if they make anything, they're going to have to start from scratch. And you figure not only do you have to build an engine, because you know they're just going to build their own.
Yeah, I mean, well, they got them.
Yeah, well, of course.
It's like, but you know, I figure it's got. There's so much other stuff right now. I'm interested to see what they're gonna have, but I have no problem with waiting. It's like, I don't care.
Well, I don't know why they would come out and release that, you know, that pixelated picture then.
Well, you figure they're gonna, you know, it's come on. They come from.
We'll leave you wondering for 4 years or 5 years.
Yeah, they come from a line of games where you always leave little hints and little stuff. And leaks.
Maybe. So. Maybe it's the next Duke Nukem.
Yeah, they're like, you know what? We're gonna give it to Respawn Entertainment. We'll have them deal with Duke.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Well, it's the guys who made Call of Duty, so.
Well.
And the COD 4. And they did work on
a huge list of games. We read them off that one.
Yeah, we read them off that one podcast. It's
Duke
ridiculous.
Was one of the games, but. They have a huge resume.
Huge resume that's actually looks pretty good. Like the games that they made anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know about this game. I don't know what it's about. I don't think they know what it's about yet.
It's about blurry battlefields. Everything's gonna be blurry. You just run around, you can't see. But
that's what next gen's gonna be.
Exactly. It's all blurred.
I'm just picturing everything being like holograms and stuff. Ever see Gamer? That's some picture.
We're just going to control convicts.
That'd be so badass.
That would, you know, that's...
Hey, dude, look, I'm a child molester. Oh, you suck.
Man, that'd be crazy.
All right, well, on the EA, topic, we can go to Battlefield 3. How they said they're talking about putting earthquakes in their multiplayer. They said it's technically possible, and you know they're thinking about it.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I think they should do it, but they should do it to like a minimum level. Like they shouldn't have an earthquake going off every 10 minutes.
once a round or something.
Yeah, once a round at random. Like it's just random time. Could be in the beginning, in the end, or something.
Or just only on one map, maybe like
yeah.
That.
Yeah, maybe like obviously a preferably one of the bigger maps. That way, you know, and maybe it can destroy stuff, but I hope it destroys things like it destroys maybe certain pathways. That way it changes the whole dynamic of
that
particular map.
Campers would be done.
Yeah, well, yeah, so it's like, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, usually I went around the left side of the map, but now that's destroyed, so I have to go this way. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, the idea seems like it'd be really fun.
They also released some pictures of Battlelog, the free stat checker. Which is going to be available for PC, and I don't know what. It'd be awesome if you could access your stats like what Battlelog looks like on PS3 and 360. But I don't know what they're doing with the consoles, if they're going to do anything at all. But Battlelog for the PC is looking really cool. It looks like a a Facebook Battlefield 3 stat checker. It's pretty awesome looking.
Yeah.
And it's free.
Yeah. Free. Can't beat that.
So, Battlefield fans should be pretty happy right now.
Yeah. Man, I saw Darkness 2 got delayed to 2012. There was no reason given. They're just like, oh, hey, yeah, we know it's just coming out in October. We're just going to push it to February.
I don't blame them, though, considering all the games that are coming out.
Yeah, that's a lot to compete with.
Yeah.
It'll be totally overshadowed.
Yeah. That's true. Super. I'm pretty sure a lot of games are going to be forgotten during that whole fall epidemic.
It's a very unfortunate time to release a game if you're not a big name already.
The indie developers are going to be hurting.
Yeah. I think, personally, the indie developers or your garage developers and everything, it would benefit them if they released their games during the summer where it's usually the dry period.
Yeah, a drought period for video games being made.
Yeah, and then the big blockbusters will be the fall and winter releases.
Yeah, that actually would make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
It'll be just like movies. You don't get your big movies until summertime.
Yep.
And you got the winter for the games.
Yeah, I think indie developers should actually get a lot more credit.
Yeah.
Because I'm playing Limbo recently, like today, and it's really cool. It's an awesome game, but it's really like dark and creepy and weird. But it's still an awesome game to play. It's just like you gotta be patient. You gotta be you gotta have the perfect timing for certain things. It's even though it's just indie developers should definitely have way more credit than they're given.
Yeah, they're the ones that basically change it up for everyone else.
Yeah, they give you a new mixed feeling of what the gaming should be on, different genres.
It's just like that game company, they probably the only ones that really expressed what the six-axis control can do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they were one of the first ones to do that.
Yeah, and they're still among the only ones.
Yeah, of course, six-axis. I've never tried Layer. I heard that was a pretty bad game, though.
Yeah.
It could have been a hell of a lot better.
Well, I know they did
but
a patch
for it. But the concept... What's that?
I said I know they did a patch for it to take off to where you didn't have to use six-axis, because that was, like, the biggest problem, is you needed to use six-axis. They finally gave it, like, joystick support, like, later on.
Yeah. I think that... the concept for that game is a really cool concept. When I first heard about it, I was like, oh, man, flying dragons and killing people? That shit's awesome. And then you get the game, and it's like...
What is this crap?
How the hell do I control this thing? You keep oversteering the damn dragon.
Dragon's like a retard.
Yeah, pretty much. Balloon. I think that they could still maybe... take the concept and do a much better game with it.
Yeah.
Especially since, like, the PS3 has been around for a while and it might be a little easier to grasp the concept of that kind of game.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, that was one of those games I had almost purchased back in the day, but I never did.
I never even heard about it until, like, three years after release. I'm like, all right, yeah, it's like $5 at GameStop. Sure, I'll, why not? Get home, play it. Oh, that's why it was so cheap.
Yeah, I remember playing the demo, and it was a little odd to get used to.
Well, I know Warhawk. Didn't they do six axis?
Yeah, you can choose to.
They did. Yeah, they did it really good. I like the flying with the six axis.
It was fun flying, but I would never do it in multiplayer.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Unless it was with friends or something.
Yeah, I don't mind when like the motion is used for small things, like in the first Resistance, like if there was a guy that jumped on you, you can shake the control to get him off, or in games where you catch on fire and you have to shake it to not be on fire anymore.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I'm actually surprised, like, Naughty Dog hasn't tried anything with Uncharted yet.
They have. You can use the six axis.
Well, for like balancing, right? I think that was it.
Well, they got that and the grenade arc.
Oh, yeah. Really? You could do that? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
For the second one, too?
That's the only thing I use. Yeah, that's the only thing I use the six axis on that for.
Yeah.
Well, now you know.
Sweet. Yeah, I didn't. But because I know they did something with like Ratchet and Clank where you skydived and you can use six axes, and that worked awesome too because it wasn't too much and it wasn't too little.
Yeah, and they did force it on you throughout the whole game.
Yeah,
probably one of my favorite uses of the six axis.
I'm not the only one.
Is in Killzone 2 with the sniper.
Oh yeah.
When you zoom in, you actually have to keep the controller still, and that makes it seem a lot more realistic to me.
That was phenomenal.
I was sad that they removed that.
I was like, where'd it go? Why another feature taken away for no reason at all?
I'd take that over breathing sway any day because I love the not having to move because that just makes it so much better.
So much realistic.
Yeah, you can.
Feels like it's hands on.
Move your little analog sticks isn't the same as
like
you're
moving your whole hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just puts you in the game more.
Yeah, but does.
Required more skill. If you would use the sniper rifle.
Yep.
Much more.
Much more. Well, Naughty Dog said the PS3/Vita combination can do exactly what the Wii U does. And I know Tosh wrote a post about that, so if you want to tell everyone about it, share.
Yeah, they just said that it's possible. I probably could do it a little better, honestly, but I don't really see
what's
many
stopping
developers
them
doing that because people would have to own PS3 and a Vita for it to even work.
Yeah,
that's true.
So I think there might be some instances of it, maybe like an alternative way to play the game, but I don't really see a lot of those types of games coming out.
Yeah.
I would like
to
see
it. Probably when the fan base grows, at least, or user base.
Yeah, maybe down the road it'll be more common, but it would be cool to see what they could do, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool that the PS3 still has enough power to match up with the Wii U.
Well, the Wii U barely meets the specs of the PS3 and 360 anyway.
Yeah, that's just true.
The only new thing it has is that controller.
Eden, close your ears.
Well, they haven't shown anything, specific game-wise. So, who knows what?
No, it's just kind of speculation. Yeah. But
it's gonna be
apparently even the developers don't know what the hell's going on because some say it's more powerful, and then some say that it's about the same.
Strange.
Some say it's just the stopgap so that it's up to par.
What is the release date for the Wii U?
I heard it's 2012.
Next year?
December
21st, 2012. I don't even think they should have mentioned it this E3 then. Well, unless... Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Well, when Sony announces the PlayStation 4 next year, they'll probably realize it was a mistake.
There you go.
You really think next year?
It would either be next year or definitely 2013.
They're really striving on the PS3, it has a long lifetime. So
maybe they could do like the Tokyo Game Conference next year because it's not fall. Is when that happens.
Yeah, I think it's like September usually happens.
Yeah. And it's in Asia, so, They would probably want to release it over there first. Showing it off over there. But
Maybe. Because the Vita, they didn't really show anything for that officially until
E3.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Next generation consoles are still on the hold for now.
I'm not holding my breath. I'll do with what I have. So
I just hope I don't have to spend another $600 for the next PlayStation.
Well, I think Sony realizes, we definitely have to keep the price down this time around. And the tech's there this time, so.
Yeah.
Exactly. your R&D is cut down.
Yeah. I wouldn't be sitting on a too high of a price, so.
Yeah, and when they announce it, you can just start saving up a little bit until it comes out.
Instead of selling your children.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was thinking today at work, I was like, man, if when that gets announced, I'm going to get one at launch because I want one. And I'm like, I want to get two. I'm not going to open one. I'm just going to keep one boxed up and closed. That way, if my launch one fails for some reason, I have a backup. But I was thinking about that. I was like, I should just buy two.
That's awesome.
Back up, just get it over with at the start.
That's yeah, right. Dude, I bought two at
yeah,
launch.
I have two. I mean, I have two PS3s right now. I might as well have two PS4s.
Wait, why do you have two PS3s? What are you doing with the other one?
Oh, remember, because when my launch 60 gig yellow lighted on me and I sent it in while it was gone for a week, I bought a slim in the meantime.
You bought another one? I can't wait!
No, it's like, it was this, I didn't have a computer at the time, so it was the center of my entertainment. It really did do everything, so I browsed the internet with it. It was my music.
It really did do everything.
It was my movies, and I was like, I don't know if I'm even watch TV, and it was like hella boring, because I was like, okay, I could hook up a DVD player, because I have all my old PS2s and an actual DVD player.
They're
like,
playing chess with himself.
I'm all, that doesn't do anything. I'm like, I want to watch movies in high def, and I want to watch my Blu-rays, so I went and out and bought the 250
like,
gig slim.
This.
And then I got my 60 gig back, and I'm like, all right, now I got two. And like I said, whenever Final Fantasy 14 comes out, I'll end up putting it on the PS3 that's not my main one. That way I can at least, I can play...
Save gigs?
That way I can play on a, you know, put it on one TV, and then if I'm sitting there, like, just kind of logged in chat with people, I can still play other games on my main PS3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That's like how my setup was when I played Final Fantasy XI. I have my PS2s hooked up to my little TV and my PS3. I'm on that if I'm doing something on 11, or when I played 11. You know, I can, like, look for a group or whatever.
Multitask gamer.
Play the games.
Playing three different video games at once.
Hell, man, back in the day when Guild Wars first came out, I used to, if I was looking for party back then, which, like, took days before the level sync, I'd sit there, I'd LFP on FF11, and then on the computer I'd play Guild Wars. I'd be like, yeah, for like a couple hours.
So who fixed your PS3?
I sent it in to Sony.
Yeah, I sent it into Texas.
Yeah,
I actually still have the paper they sent back. Let me see if I can find it. It's like right next to me somewhere.
I'm still working okay, JCM.
I haven't used my fat one that much since it came back. I mean, I use it a bit, but I don't use it. Like, I still use my Slim right now because, you know, I ended up putting new save game data on it the week I was using it, and then I kept using it over and over. I was like, yeah, I'll just keep using the Slim. But I've used my fat one every now and then, like when I had disk problems with Killzone, and I'd pop it in there.
All right.
Yeah, I'd use it for, like, before I had a computer, I used to go on AIM Express, and I'd chat on AIM on my PS3. But yeah, it's going fine.
I have the service receipt right here, and I sent it to Laredo, Texas, I think it's called. And
Laredo,
I don't know. Okay. Okay, I'm not a freaking redneck. I don't know my freaking Texas cities, all right? Anyway,
everyone's a redneck at some degree.
Hey.
Sunburned.
Yeah, when it's sunburned. Anyway, in 2009, the price to fix the PS3 was $150.
Yep.
I don't know if it still is.
I think it's the same.
I think it is still.
Really? I thought it was cut down.
No, I think it's still the same.
2 years later, still the same price.
I had my 60 gig model fixed by Gopher Mods doing their RSX reballing.
Yeah.
And ever since I had that done, this thing runs great. I have had absolutely no problems with it.
What do they have to do, like resolder or something?
They basically use the normal service that they have is like, what was it, $75?
Yeah, probably something like that.
I think it was like $65, yeah.
Yeah, and all that is just reflowing the solder back onto the solder joints on the RSX.
Solder gets too messed up and
Yeah, it gets like, you get all the burnt crap all mixed up in there.
Mixed up the chips and stuff. Yeah, so this had to resolder it. So that's a big difference from $150, but luckily I still have my warranty.
That's not the service.
Which one do you get?
I got the $140 service.
Oh, God.
But that basically took off all the old solder and replaced it with leaded solder.
Okay, which should be good for a while.
that was like the main problem with the 360s for the Red Rings was it was a low quality solder, so that's why they always Red Rings because the solder would just get too
crap inside it. Yeah, it would just get all messed up.
They had actually replaced my whole RSX chip on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, $100.
No extra charge or anything.
That's pretty good. Well, I think we got all the news out of the way.
Well, you know, there's actually Comic-Con's coming up, and
well, it's happening now, isn't it?
I believe it starts. No, it starts this weekend.
I think it starts on Friday.
Yeah, and the Uncharted comic's supposed to debut.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've never gotten into the Uncharted comics, so I can't really talk or speculate about it.
Well, it's supposed to be. Let's see here.
Is it supposed to be hinting to like a storyline in the next one? Or?
No, it's just it's like its own little separate thing, kind of like separate series, like the Eye of Indra was. Kind of
okay.
Its own
yeah.
So, but yep. It's supposed to come out
in between kind of thing.
Yeah, it's supposed to come out alongside Uncharted. So, like when Uncharted 3 comes out. This is supposed to be released out to. It's supposed to take place like a Drake on a journey to the center of the earth on a quest to see the legendary Amber Rune and stuff. Some has to do with Sir Francis Drake's past, like enemies from his past come to like get revenge on his descendants and something. Drake must use his skills to, you know, stay one step ahead of the game. And but it looks interesting. I don't know if I'll the only comics I've ever purchased associated with the game was I bought the Dead Space. Salvage, which is basically a comic book. I bought that, and that was really good. So,
okay, we'll see how good it is. Yeah, I'm gonna check it out.
I watched part on the Uncharted 2 comic. I watched, I think, half of that, but I don't know how if he's going to the center of the Earth. I don't know how he's gonna advertise a car like he did in the Uncharted 2 comic.
Well, he could like he could advertise a boat since they
a boat. Yeah,
they're on a river.
We'll see. So we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. It's always a we'll see, but it looks interesting.
We'll see.
On the cover of it, it looks like it has like, I'm looking at a picture, and I don't know if this is necessarily, I don't think it's like the official cover, because it has a different logo on there, but it just has a stylized version of like everybody on. It's got Drake and Elena and Sully and then Chloe's on there. So, who knows? We'll see who else is in it, but. That'll debut this weekend.
Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah.
Because I know...
Always
checking out some breastises at Comic-Con.
He'll be checking out all the cosplay babes.
Well,
is he going to post pictures?
I would guess. I mean, it's Ollie. I mean, Ole, sorry.
Hopefully.
I said Ollie again. At Old Pervert.
No, he's not on there. Who gives a shit?
There you go. You said you played Limbo. You said
yeah,
pretty good, right?
Yeah, Limbo's pretty cool. It's a side scroller, right? Is that like a
right?
It's like
you're the one that played it.
I know, but I don't know if it could be classified as that though. So, but yeah, it's pretty cool. It's dark, it's a weird game. The designer behind it, I don't know, if he's on acid or what. But you start off, you wake up as like I don't know if it's a kid or not. I don't know what it is. It's pitch black. You can see his two eyes, and that's about it. And he just stands up, and you just keep walking through this forest. And there's a whole bunch of traps and obstacles. You just got to jump around and stuff. It's really cool. It's neat. It's definitely like an adventure puzzle game. But it's like you're stuck in this forest with like these native guys who just like are trying to kill you, and it's so weird. And
there's 24 chapters. I'm on chapter like 13 right now. And there's this part with a spider, and you have to walk up to this tree, and it's like stabs you and just goes right through your body and just launches you like 20 feet. And you're just like this little kid. It's so graphic. And this part, I was stuck at this part for a good 10, 15 minutes. You gotta like take this bear trap and you gotta put it underneath him. You gotta walk so he tries to hit you with his leg. And just like it. Yeah, it's overall, it's still so far right now. It's definitely a good game. But for the $15 they're asking for it, I don't wouldn't do that. It's not worth the $15 in my eyes.
Yeah, that did seem kind of high. I figured it might have been. Is it, how much cheaper is it for Plus members? Isn't it like
maybe it's $11.99.
Yeah, $11.99.
Yeah. But it's still it's fun in its own way. It really does put a mix on the gaming world.
I don't think there's no demo associated with it, is there?
Yeah, there is a demo.
Oh, there is
a demo. Yep.
Okay. I don't know. I'll have to
gotta find it in the store. It's not a big file either. It's like 95 megabytes, and that's another fact. Me and Eden were talking about. We're like, a lot of people are probably gonna be upset because it's $50.99 and it's only 98 megabytes. So it's not like you're paying for all this amount of freaking data that's going on your PS3. It's very small.
Yeah.
But it's still 24 chapters, so it's pretty cool game. I'll check it out. Check the demo out.
With the amount of color or lack thereof, it's not really surprising that it's only
that's true.
That size.
Yeah, they don't really got like a lot of yeah, exactly.
Save a lot of money on that. Just doing black.
That's an awesome indie game, so it's just, you know.
Yeah.
And it was originally on Xbox, if you didn't know.
Yeah, I remember that. Back.
Yeah, it released, like, 21st of July last year.
Didn't someone make this game on Little Big Planet?
I don't know if they, like, recreated it.
I don't know if they did it exactly, like...
Yeah, I think it's just, like, it's a not level that, hard that was of a concept inspired by it.
It's definitely not that hard of a concept to make, but it seems like if you spent, like, 5 hours nonstop on Little Big Planet, and you knew what you're doing, because I have no idea what I'm doing when I'm making, like, levels. You get so lost, like, what does this tool do? What does this tool do? But, yeah, I remember seeing an article about someone actually making that game inside of Little Big Planet.
There is a video you can find on YouTube of it, but I don't know if they, like, actually recreated the entire game or anything.
Yeah.
But if they did, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And I guess there is an extra trophy. I just looked this up right now. It's called Ding. That's the name of the trophy. So it's some kind of new something. There's some kind of something that you have to do that wasn't in the Xbox version. That's in the PS3 version. So yeah, I looked for that. It's in chapter 2. Oh, there's 25 chapters. What? I guess they added another chapter for the PS3 version, because I know the 360 version only had, like, what did I say, 23 earlier?
I believe so.
Yeah, so they must have added a couple. Oh. So there is extra content from the, which I would, you know, I would guess anyway. It's been, like, what?
Yeah, a whole year.
July of last year. And if they, you know, this cut it in half and you put it on the PS3. And it's still high in money, too, so I don't know. It's definitely a fun game. I would check out the demo.
Yeah. I'll give it a try.
Since we don't really have anything else to talk about off the top of our heads, what about the emails we got this week?
Yeah.
We got two. first one's from DarkLurker23, who wrote in asking us, "Hey guys, have you played the demo for Catherine? What were your thoughts? Likes, dislikes? Me personally, I'm more interested in the story than the gameplay. Is that bad for a game or good? They do say that the game has to be story-driven, but I wonder if Atlas is trying to make the sell point just sex or gameplay, because I'm not sure how the average non-otaku gamer would be hooked on the cube staircase 50 times. I did play the demo, and I liked it quite a bit. I'm definitely interested more in the story, and I after seeing the review as well, it seems like it's definitely a very story-driven game. So.
Well, I haven't played the demo, so I can't really say anything, but can you give
I haven't either.
Can you tell us what it's about, the demo anyway?
The game, it's about this guy, this main character. You know what? I can't remember his name. We'll call him Atlas. No. The main character, he has a girlfriend named Catherine, whose name starts with, his girlfriend's name starts with a K. And she's got like this, like long straight hair, glasses, and they've been in a relationship for like forever, basically. And she's, in the beginning, it's like she's talking to him, and they're sitting at the bar, and he's kind of like, the very beginning part of the demo, like he has a dream, like a nightmare, where he's been killed, where like he's gonna be killed, and then you do this little puzzle thing, and it's very, the gameplay, like the actual stuff you do, aside from the story, is like. You seem to only play when you're in his dreams, and you're always trying to climb up these puzzles. It's a puzzle game, and it's kind of cool because the way it works is like there's these blocks that go up, and you have to get to the very top before the bottom of the blocks keeps falling out from under you, and you have to go up quickly before they go away. And if you can grab blocks and move them to make like little staircases, it's pretty simple of an idea, but if you play on regular mode and you move a block, the block is stuck there. But if you play on easy, you can hit select and it undoes the move you did because you can totally screw yourself up. Like it's fun because it's like a game you have to think quickly to solve the puzzle on. Okay, how am I gonna get up here?
It sounds like a puzzle-driven game.
Yeah, those parts. But the story is apparently like it's pretty heavy. Like there's certain things that'll happen in the story. Like I said, his girlfriend Catherine, they're talking and all this and that, and she ends up like they keep. She keeps telling about how, like, her friends keep getting married and they have kids. And then, like, basically she wants to get married. And then she leaves. And then you're at the bar with your friends. And it's kind of cool because some of the cutscenes are anime cutscenes. And then when it cuts out of those...
It's originally, like, a Japanese game or something like that, right? Or is maybe, like, a Japanese developer worked on it.
Yeah, it's... Well, I believe Atlas is... They aren't the same guys that did, aren't they the ones that did... Who did Demon's Souls? Wasn't it Atlas?
I'm not too sure on that.
Yeah,
I can't keep on that.
But yeah, it's a Japanese.
Didn't they do 3D Dot Heroes or something?
They did what they did. They did another game. I can't remember their full resume, but it's.
Wait, no, it's Japanese developer. That's.
Yeah, but it's like it's cool. Like I like because I like anime, and it's kind of cool to have see a game that has like anime cutscenes, and then when it gets into it, it's all cel shaded characters, but 3D models, kind of like a Borderlands. And anyways, this other girl walks in and meets him, and her name's Catherine with a C, and then like she hits on him, and you wake up in the demo next door, and you guys apparently like had sex the night before. You like fall into another nightmare, and so then the game, it's like I said, it's very character and story driven. So like he's struggling between, do I go after this new girl or this other girl? But there's apparently this gameplay element to it where as you learn stuff about each of the characters later. They kind of quiz you on it, not like you as the player, but as the main character. They'll ask them a question like, well, what about this? And then if you weren't paying attention, you can choose like the wrong answer. And then it kind of has this little morality meter where like it sort of sways like how it ends up going. And then
but it sounds kind of like that. Well, that part where you just said sounds like Fable kind of.
But I've never played Fable, so I couldn't.
Oh, okay.
Combine it. But it's kind of cool because like there's parts where like you use your cell phone is kind of like the main menu hub when you sit at the bar.
A little Grand Theft Auto.
And you can text message, but you can like if his girlfriend texts him and says, hey, how you doing?
You respond, just make something up or something.
Well, it's predetermined, but the way it is like it's there can be like you just hit X and then it automatically fills up, but you can hit X like 7 times. So you can have a total of 7 different lines of text that you can say, and you can go back and undo stuff if you want. But you have to say it's always in order. So if you say the first line, if you want to say the third thing, you have to say the first 2 parts. So you can see everything he might say back to her, but you can cut it back and only say certain stuff, which also sways the gameplay on how much the character's saying. It was kind of cool. It's kind of tough to explain at first. Like I said, you can watch the video review on some other websites, but like I said, it looks. very different, like, for a game, too. Like, it seems really unique, and I'm interested in the story, and it looks pretty good. I know it doesn't come out for a little while, and I think the end of this month is when it comes out. And I hadn't heard anything about it prior. Like, I kept seeing the cover, and it was just, like, it has the blonde Catherine chick on it, and she has, like, a lot of cleavage going.
Yeah, that's, I remember, like, the first time I saw it, I'm like, what is this, like, a sex game? What are the Japanese doing here?
Yeah, but after watching the review and playing it down myself, I'm actually really interested. I really like the puzzle part of it, and I like the way the game works around the characters. So it looks fun. And I know the guy, when I watched the review on IGN, the guy who reviewed it, he's not an anime person. So to answer the question about that, I know he said he still liked it, even though he's not heavily into anime. He still enjoyed it. Like I said, it's a huge story thing. So.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
What was this? There's like a second part to his question, though, wasn't there?
Well, his first part was, you know, if we played the demo, you guys died. I gave my thoughts, my likes, I don't know if I had any dislikes, because I just played the demo. There's not too much you can dislike. It seemed I liked it, so I answered his. He wanted to know if a game is that bad for a game or good if it seems to be more interested in the story of the game rather than gameplay. And I don't think that's bad at all. I mean, it can go either way, because, like, for me, Uncharted, I'm all about the story. The gameplay is good, too, but I'm mainly about the story. But then there's games like Modern Warfare 2 where the story's garbage, but I might enjoy the gameplay, so.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there.
So, you know, and he basically says, like, do you think games have to be story-driven? Do you think, he's wondering if Atlas is trying to sell the game as a sex or gameplay. I think it can be a little bit of both. I mean, it's not necessarily bad to have the sex that's in it, apparently. I haven't seen how much there is. Like, I don't think it's, like, too graphic. But, I mean, there's sex in other games, like Mass Effect and stuff like that. But
yeah.
But, yeah, no, it seems like...
No, I don't think they're using it as for, like, selling candy, no.
Oh, look at this dating sim. Yeah, woo! No, it's, like, it's got that aspect to it, but I think... But that mainly fits because of the nature of the game and the story and what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, because it's very, like, it's a strong themes, you know, like a guy... Obviously, it's, like, more of a real-world theme, so it's, like, you know, a guy with his girlfriend who's been there a long time, and then some new girl comes along, so it's, like, it's one of those things that, minus the dreams, you know, could happen.
Could actually happen, yeah, reality.
Exactly. So it seems really fun, and I'm really want to get into that. But
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, check out the demo. Check it out, man. I'll check out Limbo, and you check out that demo.
What was our second piece of mail we got? I know it's. I think it was Cheeto, right?
Captain Cheeto, yes.
Yeah,
Captain Cheeto.
Cheeto Center.
And he's like, well, this is my favorite part, because he says, well, quote, if you are reading this, quote.
Yeah, I saw this.
Thanks for taking the time.
If you are reading this.
He has a couple of questions for us. He has four questions.
They're pretty good questions.
Yeah, they are. So we'll take them one at a time. So his first question is, what's our take on the PlayStation Pass idea, and do we think it'll help publishers push better content, and do you think all companies should follow, and how will it affect rentals and used game sales? And I think we touched on it pretty well when we first discussed it the other week, but we can talk about it a little more. I'm not sure if Jay or if Tosh was here when we were talking about it, but...
Yeah. Does anyone want to speculate on it? Talk about it first.
Yeah, who was everybody here when we talked about it the other week?
I think so. I mentioned how I usually get my used games through Gamefly. I think that's when we were talking about that.
Yeah, he might Brett.
Yeah, we were talking about Resistance as well. That's where it popped up.
I got mixed feelings on it, because you got the developers, like people who buy the used games, they have to get the pass and everything, they make money from that. But then you have the problem with like if your cousin or a friend wants to borrow a game,
they still gotta buy it. Yeah,
it's one of those situations, I guess you could say.
It's I have to agree with Jay. I'm still a little mixed feelings about it. I do want to support the developers. I do, you know, like 100%, but I still want to, you know, keep money in my pocket as well.
That's why I like Gamefly, because when you buy a game from them, they send you the original case as well as the code, and the code's never used. It's like getting a brand new game anyway.
Yeah.
But the developer, they still get the money from that because they got to buy a new game to replace that.
Yep.
Whereas with
GameStop.
Yeah, GameStop and stuff like that.
They're shafting.
Most of their used games are games that they bought from other people rather than the developers. So in that sense, I definitely support
the developers.
But I do that usually through GameFly because I can play the game first.
Yep.
Because not all games have demos, of course.
Yeah.
What does GameFly run?
I think it's $15 a month for one disc.
Yeah, it's $15 a month for one disc and like $25 for two. And I know they're doing three for like $30, but that's just like ridiculous.
Yeah, that's like, okay. It might be good if you have a 360 and need to play a game that has three discs.
Do they do that if you get a game?
No, they don't do that.
They send you all of them.
Yeah, they send you LA Noir and like well.
I rented what was it?
Forza. I'm so pissed.
Yeah, Forza. It was funny because when I rented Forza Motorsport 3, it has two discs, and one installs car data and all that. And I went to.
It's like a PC.
I went to go play it again, and then I get this email from GameFly saying that I sent them only one of two discs. I was like, what the hell? I don't remember sending them anything. And I was playing the game still, and turns out my brother, he thought I was done with it, so he sent back the wrong disc. So I was like, you know, screw it. So I played it for like maybe a week, 2 weeks more, and then I sent the other disc back. So at least they were cool with that.
Okay.
They didn't like dock my account or anything.
Yeah.
But I did have to have them send me like a new shipping envelope to do that.
Yeah. Man, I always forget that 360 has multiple discs for a lot of the games. That would drive me insane.
Oh, me too.
It's an annoyance. It's not really a big deal, but it's just like
it's just something else you don't have to do.
Yeah, it's just like PlayStation 1. You get to the, what the hell is that place on Metal Gear Solid?
Yeah.
And then it's like after you beat Sniper Wolf the second time.
Okay, put in the next
place. You go into the furnace, the blast furnace, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then it asks you to put in disc 2, and like disc 2 is only half as long as disc 1.
Yeah, but it wasn't that many games though on PlayStation. It seems like a lot of games on 360 or multiple discs, and it's just, and I know.
Yeah, now that.
Yeah, because now games are getting so much bigger. It's just like, all right, Microsoft, what are you guys doing? Come on, our games are getting bigger. We're still back at the small size discs.
One of the biggest problems that some people have recently was with like LA Noir, where if they play the game but they want to go back and do some of the little side things you can do, if it was early on in the game, you couldn't just go back on reload it on that disc. You had to go back and put in that disc when you was in part of the game. Yeah, you have to change it out. And I know a lot of people don't like that.
Super annoying. I'd be frustrated to tell with that.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I will admit that multiple disc was kind of fun on the PS1 and PS2, though. But
yeah,
I don't really think that's needed anymore.
Yeah. Well,
it shouldn't be. It's only needed on the 360 because you're using dinosaur technology.
There you go.
Mm.
Yeah. That's another thing, too. It's like original PlayStation. It's like I had Final Fantasy VII, and then I lost one of my discs. So it was like, great. Now if I don't have, I better have a save game either before or after, because now I can't play in that middle part. But then I got it back up like later on. But it's like, man, it was kind of fun because it always felt like, oh, how many discs is that game? Oh, three? Oh, it must be a really long game, because that you know, obviously meant, oh, it was long. But
back then.
Yeah, it wasn't like, like I said, it wasn't like every game's like that, but it was kind of, you know, funky. Kind of fun. It, like I said, it was kind of cool back then. Like, oh, hey, check it. Because it got a big, thick, you know, CD case. It's
like,
double discs. But
yeah.
Yeah, now
it's just like, all right. That was so back then.
Yeah.
Well, I think the reason why nowadays we have a problem with that is because of Blu-ray.
Yeah, Blu-ray's just putting everything out of...
Because back then we didn't have anything else that to differentiate or like make you have to use multiple discs or go through to a larger format, because it wasn't a larger format. You're stuck with the disc, so everyone's like, all right, 3 discs for this game? Hells yeah.
Yeah.
And but now it's like, you know what? When this console was coming out, they had Blu-ray and HD DVD. Why couldn't they decide on one of these? And that now we have that on the PS3 with the Blu-ray. I think in that sense, if Microsoft, instead of going with the DVD format, they should have went with the HD DVD format, and that would have made things a hell of a lot more interesting now. Just to see, like, which format was going to come out on top.
Well, yeah. I know back then Bill Gates had said he thought HD was a fad and that would go away, but he was wrong.
Yeah. I think everyone has been wrong about something this generation. It's like, look at 3D.
I'm still iffy on 3D. I don't think it's that bad of an idea. I really do like the split screen.
For gaming.
Yeah, but I mean, like, 3D, no one's really made a big deal out of it, and then the 3D TV started coming out, and now all the movies in the theaters are in
3D. Yeah, everyone's starting to do it now, yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm kind of sick of the IMAX and 3D. I just want to see it in IMAX only.
Yeah.
Well, what's the true difference? I saw
Harry Potter in 3D, and it was like, okay, well, where was the 3D part? I kind of missed that.
It's when the snake jumps at the camera.
Oh, was that it?
I guess. I don't know. I didn't see it in 3D.
I didn't see it yet at all.
Well, at least it's better than, like, back in the 70s when they had 3D.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't around back then, my parents were. And my mom went to see Jaws 3D. She was like expecting like heads to come out of her and stuff. Instead, it was like all a bunch of stupid crap.
It's like advertising before the movie even starts.
They had like a battle ball or something, and like popcorn coming out of the screen. Stupid shit. Nothing scary.
Yeah.
And my mom was sorely disappointed with that, because she was expecting like freaking body parts and like the shark coming out at them and stuff, but nope. And that was back in the 70s.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen any 3D movies from like nowadays though, so I don't know what that's like.
It's changed a lot. It has.
Kind of depends on the movie, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think, even though I haven't seen any, I think like animated movies would do a hell of a lot better job than
I heard Transformers was really good in 3D.
That's what I heard as well. Like, they did a really good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still need to see that movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet either.
I saw it last weekend. It was okay.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It was better than the second one, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that's good.
I don't think that really takes much anyway.
Like I said last week, the game was
Yeah.
The game was crap. Don't buy it.
Yeah.
Well, I know Cheeto had a couple more questions,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, he's got 3 more questions, so let's get to the second one. The second one is, with so many great titles coming out this fall, does the PlayStation 3 really need more exclusives? Will there be more, or do you think that Sony will wait for the next gen console, PS4, to acquire more licenses and exclusives?
Oof.
That's a...
I'm sure they have some deals already going on in the background with some developers.
Yeah, they definitely got new developers working on new tech for the next generation. But I think we're still not done seeing PS3 exclusives. I think there'll be a couple more at least.
Yeah, but I think that right now we're at the point where we're going to see, well, we've already been at that point, but we're going to see a lot more sequels rather than is completely new intellectual properties.
And this brings, like, the Pedro post up. I don't know if you guys read that. That was pretty cool. How he talked about how, like, a lot of games are doing sequels. And that's all you really see out there, sequels and sequels.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a majority of them, for sure.
Yeah, that's actually one of the other questions that Cheeto has after this one. But, I have this feeling that for the 720 and PS4, when I look at how many...
I hope 720 is not the name.
Yeah, well, we'll see. that when I look at how many exclusives, third-party exclusives there were from, like, PlayStation, the first PlayStation, and, the other consoles, and then PS2 and, like, Xbox or GameCube and stuff like that, Dreamcast. And then how many there are now, it seems like a lot of games that were exclusives, especially to like ones that were exclusive on Xbox that slowly came over or that were on PS3.
Yeah, slowly creeped its way over to
PS3. I have a feeling there will be fewer third-party exclusives the next generation. I have a feeling it'll start going down to it'll strictly be which first-party games do you want the most, which really I have no problem. I wouldn't mind at all if there were third-party exclusives that we had that someone else decided, oh, hey, we're going to develop for this other console, because I don't consider myself a fanboy, and I figured, hey, the more people who can play a game, good. It's if it's a good game, you should play it, and plus it's great for the developers.
It supports them.
Yeah, and then just make quality first-party titles, and then that's what you could do. Just keep doing that.
Well, I think that's what Sony has been doing.
Yeah.
Because this generation, the PS3 doesn't really have that many exclusive third-party titles.
Yeah, not
but
that's
then
many.
We lost a lot, and that 360 had some, but now they're coming over.
Yes.
So I think, with that said, third-party exclusives are going to pretty much
be gone
die
next
off.
Generation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And.
Or they'll be timed exclusives, or
but,
it'll be DLC
as far as
exclusive.
First party goes. I think those are. It's really going to mostly be between Sony and Nintendo on that. Well, yeah, that's obvious. But I'm talking about like first party titles.
Yeah.
That's going to be the
real
decisive battle. And really the 360
I don't know what they're They're going on Gears of War 3. That's the only thing they're really thriving on.
Yeah, they got that, and they have
Forza
and
which Halo. I still think Gran Turismo kicks its ass.
I think that Forza still has a lot of positives that Gran Turismo still doesn't have, including the livery system. Forza still has by far the best livery system I've seen for a racing game.
You can check out a lot of books.
The PS3 and Nintendo, they still have the largest
first-party
libraries.
Games. Yeah, and I think Sony's only going to get more and more first-party games. So
yeah.
It's just a matter of time, really.
I think that Sony could still have a good hold on some third-party developers. Like, maybe Insomniac, after their third-party game comes out, they might get something else from them.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, because, Sony's definitely been loyal to them.
Yeah. They really helped get them to where they are now.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Exactly.
I'm still waiting for Agent, though.
Yeah, where the hell is Agent, Rockstar? And by the way, Max Payne 3... Still haven't heard anything about Max Payne 3. What's going on there?
I think that's been
pushed back.
Yeah, until next year, even though the release date hasn't been changed on like a bunch of websites.
Really? I haven't heard anything about it.
Apparently, it was supposed to come out within the next month or
like
something.
August. Let me check. August 1st.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. There hasn't been anything since the original showing.
Which was, 2 years ago?
Something.
Yeah.
I'm surprised anyone knows it still exists.
It says Max Payne 3 has been confirmed release date on Monday,
August 1st, 2011. That makes no... I can't see it coming out.
There hasn't been anything on that game.
Exactly. Now they're saying January. There's rumors saying January. And Grand Theft Auto 5 is getting a whole bunch of rumors.
I think that as far as Grand Theft Auto 5 goes, I don't think we're going to see anything until after Agent comes out. So we probably won't see Grand Theft Auto 5 until like 2021 or something.
Now, Agents, is that a multi-platform game?
No, that's a PS3.
It was a PS3 exclusive, okay.
No, it still is, but apparently it might be timed like the GTA 3 through San Andreas titles were.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yep. That'd be pretty awesome. But, like Max Payne 3, we haven't heard anything about it. Rockstar, you know, keep them to themselves.
Yeah, they're notorious for that.
Yeah. Third question.
Yeah.
Unless we have any more to add to that one.
Next question.
I don't think so.
We're starting to run a little bit long here. I want to make sure we get through it. All right, question number three is, we had a great article on the site about innovation in small game developers. Do you guys think there's any original material left to create a solid story? What about game mechanics? Aren't you tired of playing the same shooters over and over? I think there's plenty of innovation and original material that's left to be discovered. There always is. I mean, if you look at it, look at, like, music. When I look at music, I always think, why isn't everything already done? You know what I mean? Like, hey, this... I hear a song, like a new song, like I listen to a lot of rock music and stuff like that, and I'll hear it, I'm like, man, I can't believe this has never been done before, because there's always, there could be something that's, you know...
There's always going to be something new.
Yeah, they're always, I mean, it might take, you know, I think the small developers that are the ones who, you know, who bring the innovation. They're the ones that do something new. I mean, look at Media Molecule.
They brought a whole new... I don't even know. different game genre and customization is insane. And a lot of game companies are actually looking up to Media Molecule now and just like, wow, yeah, let's start doing what they're doing, thinking of new stuff.
But now Media Molecule's not exactly a small developer anymore.
Yeah, they're not small anymore. That's right.
Much because Sony owns them.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they, you know, won't do anything else innovative. It just means, you know, they succeeded. They were a successful.
Yeah,
they're successful small company. Yeah.
That's why I like. That's why I like Sony.
Yeah.
They at least they seem to have supported all these smaller developers with these quirky ideas.
Yeah.
Just like that game company with Flow, and then Flower came out. Now you got Journey coming.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, they definitely, you know, they definitely look for the small companies and they cherish what they have and work with them.
Yeah, and then you have that $20 million going towards these Indian, or not Indian, but indie and
Indian game developers.
Indie and garage developers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of innovation will come out of is those guys.
Because they get, you know, all the time.
They can create a small game and do a unique thing with that game. They don't have to create a massive game around the idea.
Exactly.
It can be a small thing.
Yeah.
So I don't think, you need diversity. They're going to be different.
Like one recent one that I can think of that was a little different was Kung Fu Live.
Yeah.
Like the first, I guess it's kind of real motion game. For PlayStation
Eye. Yeah.
Yeah, the full body motion.
And it actually works really well.
Yeah.
Don't see that a lot.
It doesn't really like fat guys though.
What issues did you have with it? You couldn't see you?
It could see me, but I guess that I cast big shadows, so it saw those two. I really have a lighting problem. I've been trying to fix that, but...
Gotta work on it.
He's like a spotlight on him.
It made some funny-ass game moments, so seeing this fat guy on there doing all these crazy things in the cutscenes. but I think that with that said, the cutscenes on there were with you having to use your body in it and everything.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And it looked like on the second chapter, I think it was, when you had to scale the buildings. It looked funny as hell with me. I looked like a really fat Spider-Man or something.
Yeah, you kind of have to pose like you're climbing the wall, like in two positions, and it shows you jumping up the wall.
Yeah, the only problem I had with it was the timing. It didn't give me enough time because I'm a big guy and I need more time to do these poses. Going back to the question, like asking if we're tired of playing the same shooters and stuff. We've been playing the same shooters since like 2001. Really. It's just...
Even before that, we like Duke Nukem. Came from Duke Nukem. So, and it really, the whole idea of first-person shooter hasn't really changed either. It's just...
Yeah,
it really is the same.
But you just
it's kind of hard. Yeah, it's kind of hard to innovate something when you're playing the game in the first person.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't like be an outside body doing stuff while you're inside of a first person view, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's just getting harder on the developers to come up with new ideas. That's exactly why we have a lot of failed first person shooters.
Yeah, I feel like first person shooters typically will need at least a good story to pull through. You can have a great story, but have gameplay mechanics. But if you can pull off a good story in a first-person shooter to at least propel it and have good set pieces, I mean, there's nothing... I don't find anything typically boring about the FPS genre. Like, I don't mind playing first-person shooters. Like,
yeah, no, it doesn't get boring.
You know, but
I don't think it does.
For me, I just need the story. You can have, like I said, certain game mechanics, like the darkness, had good game mechanics.
Yeah, that
like,
was...
You know, playing there, that were different than other games that had
their own.
But,
actually, one game that we saw at E3, Prey 2, kind of had a different take on the first person, because it's kind of like a hybrid between first person shooter and Mirror's Edge.
Yeah.
And what they showed us, it actually looks really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looked like it controlled really well, too. I never even heard of the first one, actually.
Yeah, me
either. First one was only a 360 game.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That explains it.
The name always sounds like a flight sim whenever I hear it, though.
Yeah.
Prey. I think like Bird of Prey. It's just a flight sim.
I think of like Alien versus Predator.
There you go.
But I think first person shooters are here to stay for a while.
Although, people keep buying them.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Yeah.
You know, all the 12-year-olds.
I mean, there's a lot of bad ones, but you get some good ones as well in this first.
Yeah, like Battlefield 3.
Yeah.
You wish.
Battlefield, I think, I mean, even though it hasn't changed too much over time, but some...
They got the formula right. That's right.
Yeah.
Your presentation.
The online on those games has always been
really
top-notch.
Good. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, I know on Battlefield 1942, the first in the series... Wake Island was the demo, of course. Wake Island's in all the games, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I used to fly planes with the frickin' mouse and keyboard and doing barrel rolls under the bridges on that map.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm pretty sure that's coming to Battlefield 3. Yeah, Wake Island.
Yeah, it is. It's already been confirmed.
Yeah, and the Back to Kharkan pack, I think.
Yeah.
But, like, the online on the Battlefield games...
Yeah, I think they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, too, because the focus is on multiplayer.
Yeah, but they also wanted to work with the single player this time around. They said, we haven't really thought about, like, previous Battlefields haven't had the greatest storylines, so I think they really revamped it and just... I think it's going to be way better than Call of Duty. That's just my opinion. I know... Call of Duty will still sell more, but selling doesn't make a game better.
Yeah, and royalty needs to understand that.
Yeah.
I think the sales will be a lot closer this time than it was before.
I don't know how close they're going to get. I don't know how close they're going to get, but I know Battlefield's going to have a lot more sales.
It depends on how many people went to Modern Warfare 3.com.
Well, we have the beta coming up, so.
Yeah, the beta's coming up in September. That's.
Yep.
And when they're talking about the earthquakes coming to the game, people are like, well, what do you mean you're thinking about doing it? The beta's in September. What are you doing? Are you going to do it or not?
I guess it's a matter of, like, how they can get it to, like, work in multiplayer because in single player,
it's different because you don't have the lag issues. You don't have...
Yeah, and it's scripted.
Scripted, yeah.
And, like, it'll most likely happen in the background with, like, some foreground shaking and stuff, but, like, if you're playing online and there's a...
Oh, man, I would love just, like, random weather effects and earthquakes and just...
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It changes the game completely.
But the question is, though, when they have the earthquakes, is there going to be ground deformation, like, faults coming up and stuff as well?
I would think.
Is it just going to be buildings collapsing?
You should that one video when the right before the building comes down or when it has the
It comes right down.
Shock that comes around. You figure it'd be just like that.
It'd be just like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
if they do it, they just got to do it right. And
yeah, they it can't take up too many processes either because
You still got everything else running around, yeah.
But I think it'd be funny as hell. Driving a tank and all of a sudden
and then you see like an earthquake just chop down a building and just completely block your road path, kind of find another route. That'd be
or
awesome.
Just land on you.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think, imagine like flying a helicopter being next to the building.
The building falling down on you. That would make the game so much better. It's random. Yeah. It's random, so it's just well, hopefully it's random.
Yeah.
Maybe one way they could do it is, like, maybe the halfway point, whoever team loses, like, the earthquake happens more on where...
And, like, their spawn area, that'd be...
Yeah, on their side of the map or something.
Yeah, it definitely...
So it gives the other team the advantage for a little bit. That might be a way to do it.
Yeah. They could really mess around with that.
Yeah, hopefully earthquakes won't be the only thing. Like, they got the destructive environments.
Exactly. You might as well put, like, a building falling down.
Yeah, like, I think what would be really cool is if you're in a tank and there's this helicopter that's going after you and you're able to shoot this building and, like, the roof collapses and slides off and it's a helicopter. But...
Okay, Michael Bay.
I think that'd be badass.
That'd be awesome, yeah. I don't know how they would pull it off. It'd be still awesome, yeah. Hopefully they do put, like, a lot of random events online, because you really... I know I never get bored of Battlefield games, because they don't really get stale to me. But this would make it so much better. This would...
Yeah. Because, like, even a few years after it is already released, Bad Company 2 still has a really fresh multiplayer aspect to it.
Yeah.
Or it seems fresh.
Yep.
It's just that damn good of a game.
Exactly. I think the biggest challenge DICE EA have is just trying to get attention to the 12-year-olds.
Yeah. But then again, do we really want them
playing? Do we really want them playing?
Yeah.
But I still want, like, you know, I still want, well, you know, because, no, DICE is still going to get paid. They're paid. So, I don't know what I want. I just want a lot more people to know what Battlefield is and, you know, actually care about how it strategizes, like, real
teamwork
exactly,
because still the best combination is the tank driver and an engineer. Like with Call of Duty, it's mostly like you're out for yourself, but like the multiplayer on that's just gotten insane.
It's just
all
too
kill streaks and everything.
Exactly, they put too much into it.
Yeah, they overdid it,
and then they just, I don't know, they're just doing it too wrong. And I have no faith in the next one. I just don't. Not after Activision.
At least EA this generation is doing a lot more.
Thinking.
A lot better. because the last generation.
Yeah, they didn't really have.
EA was the Activision of that era.
Yeah,
that's true. So thank God they're actually making it through this generation.
Yeah. THQ has been stepping up quite a bit too.
Yeah. 2K. I mean, 2K has been growing.
Yeah. So, like, now, freaking Saints Row the Third.
Yeah, and you see how they hired Hulk Hogan and the freaking porn star for the voice actors? Oh,
heard about that. That's pretty funny.
This game is going to be so over the top. I'm so excited for it.
I don't know what to think anymore. I'm just having the fear of hearing Hulk Hogan every 10 seconds.
Brother.
I hope.
Brother.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Exactly. Every 10 seconds, I get so pissed. No, let me tell you something, brother. I'll unplug it. Unplug PS3.
Anyways, the first two games I like quite a bit, but man, this one
looks cool. It does.
It's gonna be freaking.
You're speechless.
Yeah, it's. I'm going to like my head's going to explode because I can't explain the game. Like, what the hell is it? You got the freaking manipult,
just let your beard do the talking.
Yeah, wasn't that his other question?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Why is Jay's beard so awesome?
Yeah, well, because it is. That thing.
What?
What do you feed that thing?
Usually, whatever doesn't land in my mouth. I've eaten things before and like I didn't realize some of them might have dripped into my beard and I'm like, what the hell's this hard shit?
You go on the bed, it's like maple syrup all in your beard, you're like, ah.
At least I hope and it's not like someone mouth raped me while I was sleeping. Anyways, to answer your question, why is my beard so awesome? Well, look who it's attached to.
It's true.
It's a pretty awesome fella.
I think it's a symbiotic relationship.
Or it's disease.
Other.
You trim it often?
Only if it starts getting in my mouth. Like if sometimes I'll go to bite something.
Fall asleep with beard. Beard falls in your face.
Or I get like a lot of like nighttime slobber in there from sleeping weird.
Oh god.
Yeah, it's a little gross.
But at I least don't have to worry about that.
At least it's hard and crusty, so it just like rubs out of there.
Okay, I got a serious question. How much shampoo do you go through?
I actually don't use that much.
Liar.
I'm kind of balding on top. So like what I've
what your beard making up for it.
Yeah. So I also condition it and it really makes it a lot softer than what many people would believe.
Oh man.
I'm gonna do shampoo commercials if you haven't. I think that's my
lifelong dream.
That's your calling.
That's your calling.
Yeah, that's my calling.
Well, remember us when you get famous.
You guys ever see that little shampoo thing I made for my brother's marketing class?
Nope.
Yeah, I did.
I haven't.
Basically,
the forum somewhere.
What's that?
Did you post that in the forum somewhere?
I might have, but basically, I took a shampoo bottle from some other brand and I made it dark green, and I changed the label to Grizzly Beard and Hair Shampoo. And it had a picture of Grizzly Adams with the grizzly bear.
Oh my god.
I thought it was pretty awesome. But he didn't.
It does look pretty good.
He got an F on it.
No, I don't know what grade he got on it, but he did take credit for it, that little bastard.
So, Tosh, I hear you have You said you have a little sound clip for the guessing game, since Ace doesn't have one this week.
I do have one sound, but I guess it's from an old PS3 game.
It is a PS3 game.
Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah. Let's
see if this works here. It is a PS3 game.
I got not a clue.
Yeah, me neither.
It sounds like a creepy game, though.
No, it's not creepy. Huh. Actually, to give you a clue, it's one of the first games, kind of one of the, when I started using motion in games, that was one to use it, and part okay. of it. So, huh. Good luck to you.
Hey, good luck.
Good luck. You gotta need it.
Before we head off of here, Tosh.
The E3 giveaways.
Yeah, oh, that. Yeah. And Double Points going on right now.
And the Christmas in July.
Yeah. The swag. I'll just want to get rid of my stuff. So each day I'll post a new item and then pick a winner for the previous day until it's all gone.
Sweet.
Okay, so it's all going to happen in that same form post, though?
Yeah, it is. I'll just keep okay. that first post updated. And then I'll probably do another giveaway tomorrow. And I'm waiting on one more shipment, and then we'll do another giveaway, and we'll have like about 5 winners, I would think.
Sweet.
Sweet.
So we got some coming, and Oli said he got another game to give away, so we got at least 3 coming.
Alright.
Giveaways up the arse.
Looks like we have about 3 more hours for signups for my Gran Turismo 5 tournament.
Yeah.
You got 6?
What?
The 5 or 6 you got for that?
I got 6 now, I think.
Okay.
So right now that would mean first place would get 600 points, second place will get 500, and so on. Plus okay. 150 for participation.
Man, you can make a quick buck.
Yeah, first place will get 750 points plus the Corvette. So that's a hell of a way to get points, I would think.
Yeah. And with all the giveaways coming up, it's not a bad idea to go race your car in Gran Turismo 5. Whoop Jay's ass.
Well, I'm not going to be racing. I'm just going to be monitoring it.
Oh.
Because on that game, you can go in and just watch the races, too.
Okay. You're that one creeping guy who just watches the race go on.
Maybe do like some...
Just breathing heavily in the mic.
Yeah, can you do commentary while they're racing?
I could, huh?
Do like a Mexican style.
Go! Whoa, looks like we got a wreck on turn 3. I'm hoping next month I'll have another big race going on, except that one will most likely be a endurance race for like 2 hours or something.
Sweet.
So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, JC, what's ever going on with your poker tournament you had going on?
Yeah, I'm going to probably get that posted soon, since now the Uncharted beta is over and figure there's not a
Sweet.
Lot coming out.
Yeah, because right I'm definitely interested.
People have time getting it going. So I saw the post up. I'm just going to probably get it published this week. That way people can start getting ready for it. I just got to pick an official a sign-up like deadline for people that want to join in, and then get it going. So figure
awesome.
He's got that contest going, so I can at least make sure it's a little bit after that. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Should be good.
Should be good.
Yeah. All right. Well, nobody's got anything else. I think we're gonna call it.
Okay. I think the only thing that maybe we want to put out there is just to make sure everyone knows that we do have Double Points going on through the rest of July.
That's right. We do.
Yeah.
Wait. So
would the Double Points count for the tournament?
No, not the tournament.
I'd be like, Jesus.
That'd be freaking insane. I was actually going to do...
You're going to go and do it?
No, I was actually going to do 1,000 points for first place, but that would depend on if we had 10 races or more.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't see that happening at this point. But still, 750 points for first place Sunday. Yeah. That's a hell of a prize there.
That it is.
That That's it a whole is.
Bunch of contest entries right there.
All right. Well, yeah, it was definitely an awesome time with you guys, you know, as usual.
Yeah, long one. We're gonna get a flack for it. I don't have time to listen to this.
I don't have time to listen to this.
Exactly.
You know, I'm on here, so people might actually listen to it.
Uh-oh. I see how it is. Well, you know what? I'm just going to go through and cut out all the parts with you in it. How about that?
That would be a really awkward podcast.
That'd be great. It'd be me and Ace until Tosh shows up.
And then, like, you guys are talking about random stuff.
That's right.
So how do you feel about that, Jay?
Yeah,
Jay.
Nothing.
Yeah. What's going on?
Oh, he's our imaginary guest this week.
Yeah.
Oh man.
All right. Well, thanks for joining this week, guys. It's always good. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Yep.
That's right. And
don't forget to rate us.
That's right.
Yeah, rate us on iTunes. God damn it.
Yeah.
And send us some voicemails and emails.
I'm glad we got some emails. Thanks for the emails coming in, guys.
Yeah, I already gave Dark Lurker and Cheeto their 100 points for sending us emails.
Yeah, man.
So
get points, too. Send us an email.
That's right.
Once a week, send us an email. You'll get 100 points. Send us a voicemail. You get 150.
And who knows? You might actually get an award. Some podcast that might give away something to people who send it mail. So, yeah.
Double points this week.
Alright, well, I'll see you guys around, and until next time.
Alright, take it easy.
Adios.
Bye.